Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, five Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Charles 2 Franklin and Brown.
484 suspect, is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, 5 Frank, 401 is a route.
Hello, thanks for joining us on our 299th radio show on the Private Officer Beat on this cool and chilly, beautiful autumn day in the Tennessee, North Carolina mountains. Glad that you are with us. We're going to wrap up the Sovereign Citizens Part 2. This is a very unique segment of our population, of our country. It's important to identify who you're dealing with and to understand as much as possible about this particular group. We're not going to be experts. We're definitely not going to be know-it-alls. This is just to help you, especially those of you who work largely with the public, to be able to identify them. We're going to join them here in the part two wrap-up right now.
And it just helps everybody, yeah. Very good. Is there a prevalence of these folks mostly in the Mid-Atlantic or the South, or do they exist in, say, New Mexico, California, further out west? And any idea as far as geographic regions?
That's a great question, Paul. I'll tell you, Corey and I have had the good fortune to travel around quite a bit on the job and also talk to a lot of folks about what they're experiencing. And I can say, I think we both can say with 100% confidence, this is a national problem. This is in all 50 states, to include Alaska, to include Hawaii. I think it's in your largest cities and your largest counties, and it's in your most rural, tiny little counties and cities, counties and towns. This is a problem that is everywhere. I don't think there's one particular haven for it in the country. Obviously, in your urban areas, you're just going to have more people in general, so it's going to seem like the problem might be a little bit bigger there. But the problem is everywhere. It's in the Southeast, it's in the Northeast, it's in the Mid-Atlantic states, it's in the Midwest. Corey and I have both spoken to numerous officers from around the country, and this is a problem, and it all falls along the same line. What a sovereign does in North Carolina is going to be 98% of what a sovereign does in Texas, which is going to be 98% of what a sovereign does in California and Kansas and New Jersey and Maine. Everything is the same because they're using the same playbook. Some choose different plays, but it's the exact same playbook.
Okay.
So I think it's definitely a national problem. I can't pinpoint it to one specific location.
Yeah. And as far as intelligence gathering, is it helpful for officers investigating these cases? You know, with gang cases, we hear about the helpfulness and the usefulness of social media and the way gangsters will post evidence of their crimes on social media portals. Can officers and investigators, you know, looking into these cases, use those same platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. Once you really determine your main, your more organized operating groups in your region, they're all on Facebook, like everybody else. They're on Facebook. They're everywhere else on online forums, and so you can read a lot, and you can hear firsthand what they're saying that they're doing, what their encounters are. That, and also a lot of these sovereign meetings are literally open to the public. So, you know, if officers want to, you know, dive in a little bit more deeply in an undercover capacity, you can go to these meetings. They don't vet folks at the door generally. They're very welcoming of people who they feel like might be like-minded. So a lot of our experience has been attending and sitting in on a lot of these seminars. So both online and in face. Yeah.
And with gang investigations, I know they at times departments will develop these lexicons or glossaries or whatever you want to call them of terms that are used. Is that something that you guys recommend agencies do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the more information that gets pushed out to particularly the road folks, the folks that are out there in the streets dealing with people on a regular basis, particularly dealing with traffic stops and calls for service, I mean, you need to make sure that those folks are equipped with the information to keep themselves safe. Because, yes, it's great, and the end result is successful prosecution with these folks and try to stop the problem where we can. But really our number one goal, first and foremost, is to keep the officer safe. So exactly what you said, Paul, if we can push these terms out there, buzzwords, phrases, how to visually identify things that might be on the back of a vehicle, but definitely the words that are used when you're interacting with these sovereigns or somebody you might suspect to be sovereign, identifying the paperwork, it's going to keep the officer's awareness level high, which is going to keep his officer safety level high, and we're all going to be safe at the end of the day, and that's the main goal. Good. So I think it's a great idea to push that stuff out there.
Now final vehicle stop question. What about backup on these guys? There was a case in Washington State where some deputies, I think near Spokane, pulled over some sovereigns who refused to get out of a red pickup truck, and the deputies called the SWAT team who came and cut these guys out of their seatbelts. What about using the SWAT team? Where do you guys, what's your advice on that one?
I'll give you an example, Paul, answer in the form of an example. We train our police academy every 6 months or so on all the subversive groups, including Sovereign. One of our rookies, he got out of the academy. He was out just literally a matter of days on his own. He was dialed in about Sovereigns. He got behind a Sovereign vehicle with one of these foreign tags. It had Egypt of the West and all this other nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
He got on the radio and said, this is Officer So-and-so. This is my location. I'm behind a Sovereign. Start me a backup unit. Now, that let everybody listening to the radio know exactly what he was dealing with and assigned him at least one other backup, which when you say something like that on the radio, other officers are going to come also.
Mm-hmm.
So we always say, again, expect these guys to be violent, expect them to be resistant, and be pleasantly surprised when they're not. Now, the idea of about calling out, you know, a SWAT team or a special response or a CERT team is, yeah, those guys can handle it. They're competent, but the delay in time there is minutes, half hour, perhaps an hour until you get some SWAT personnel there. The greatest obstacle that you're going to run into with these guys is they'll lock themselves in and not roll down the window. You, as an officer, a non-SWAT officer, can absolutely defeat a glass window, correct? So we train officers to have a plan for how to defeat glass, because we're not going to, you know, have a siege, a barricaded individual in a car on the side of the road for 30 or 40 minutes while we wait for other officers that will just come and break the window like we could have done. So, you know, these guys will present you with numerous arrestable misdemeanors, and you're not going to just allow them to lock themselves and barricade inside a vehicle. We teach officers that, you know, to handle it swiftly and quickly, safely.
So really, really being proactive with these guys.
Sure.
Absolutely.
As far as the paper terrorism, let's get into that area a little bit, because that can be a form of kind of legal intimidation toward law enforcement, right?
Absolutely, and that's for anybody that's listening to this and is interested in the Sovereign movement. I think everybody's probably nodding their head right now, saying yes, that's the number one concern, because that's what goes around law enforcement, is the stories of a guy on your squad, a guy in your agency, a guy in the neighboring agencies getting sued, getting leaned, all these various motions that they'll file in court, paperwork that they mail to you at the police department, the sheriff's office. So I think that is the most in-your-face concern on an immediate level is going to be the paper terrorism. If everything is under control during the traffic stop, everybody's safe, you write your ticket, you take somebody to jail, and then you think you're done. You pat yourself on the back because you did a great job, which you did, and everybody was safe, but now all the paper comes. And this is the main tool or the main play from that sovereign playbook. Sovereigns will try to use as much paperwork as they can in the form of liens and lawsuits and motions to try to clog up the court system, number one, and number two, to intimidate anybody that they perceive as their enemy, which is going to be anybody in government. And they're going to use the liens and the lawsuits to do that so that officers think twice about dealing with these guys in the future.
And you guys mentioned earlier before we started the call, that some of these suits can be in the millions of dollars.
Yeah, you'll rarely see, and that's just in case all of this eludes an officer, and, you know, you're dealing with this guy, you just think he's kind of, he's off, he's talking just nonsense. When you get a lawsuit for instance, we have a couple of our officers that have been sued for $70 million. We've got judges sued for $50 billion with a B dollars.
Wow.
And what they do, like Rob was talking about earlier, the way they come up with that number, they take that fee schedule that they, you know, allegedly enact at the time of their seizure or the time of their arrest, they total it up, and then they increase it exponentially, and that's where they come up with these crazy numbers. You'll never see, for instance, a sovereign lawsuit for, you know, $20,000 or even $50,000. It's always something just ridiculous.
Totally over the top, yeah.
That's right.
Wow, these guys, you know, times it by 10.
Yeah,
okay. Well, what I've heard some sovereign experts say that these guys will submit these fraudulent documents. They'll sign it with blood. You know, there's all kinds of weird stuff they do with these court documents. Is that something that an officer can just dump in the 10 round file, or how would you deal with that?
Well, and it's a great question, because if it's a lawsuit in particular and you get served with a lawsuit, whether it's on the state level or the federal level, you know, you only have X number of days to respond to it. And unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever side of the coin you want to fall on, anybody can sue anybody at any point in time for anything. So there is really no test as to whether or not the lawsuit is valid enough to file. You can originate it and file it, and then you get served with a lawsuit, and now you have to deal with it in court. And chances are, and in most cases, if not all, it's going to get thrown out. It's nothing to worry about. But when you get served with that lawsuit, it's something that you have to deal with. So what we tell folks is make sure, even though you're going to laugh at it, you're going to show your buddies, and you're going to say, hey, look, I got sued by one of those sovereigns, and maybe deep down inside you're saying, oh, this isn't good, I'm getting sued for $70 million.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that paperwork gets to your police attorney, your county attorney, the AG's office, U.S. attorney's office, whoever it is that handles your job, whoever it is that handles anything that comes out of your work. That paperwork needs to go to them so that they can go to court, they can get a summary judgment dismissal, and we don't have to worry about the lawsuit. I would not recommend throwing it in the garbage. You know, make a photocopy of it, show it to your buddies, but make sure that the original gets sent to whoever your legal representation is.
So if you're served with this with these lawsuits and this paperwork, what are some things you'd recommend officers do at that point, as far as dealing with the person who served them the paperwork?
We always tell officers a couple things. Anytime you deal with a sovereign, you need to, one, let your direct supervisor know that you dealt with that sovereign, because what a lot of times the sovereign citizens, they will sue not only the officer that they encounter, but they'll sue all the way up the hierarchy of command. They'll sue that officer's direct sergeant, then the captain, the police chief, the city manager, and everybody down through. So a lot of times the boss will not even have any firsthand conversation with the sovereign, and all of a sudden he's getting his property leaned when he goes to refinance or sell his house,
wow,
which is bad.
Wow.
So we tell officers to immediately start checking your credit, and I would say check it quarterly for the first year or so after you arrest a sovereign, and do title searches on any property that you own, just to make sure that no liens have been placed against your property.
That's an excellent suggestion. As far as additional training that's available for officers in different states, are there some resources that you guys could point officers to for additional training on this?
Absolutely. As far as the basic understanding of the movement, understanding of how to deal with these folks, you know, folks need to go out there and not be afraid to stop the cars. When they see the weird tags, stop those cars, talk to the sovereigns, make sure the stop is safe and under control, and then if you have the time, talk to them. If you have the capacity to follow up with traffic stops that your patrol officers are doing, go out, knock on the doors, interview these folks, spend 2, 3, 4 hours. While it's not pleasant, it's a good use of time because it's the best way to understand how these folks are going to react to law enforcement, what their ideological beliefs are, and how they're going to deal with law enforcement on the side of the road. So that's pretty much the best way to do it. And as far as training is concerned, Corey and I put together some pretty proactive street-level training that we've been trying to get out to the masses. Obviously, number one, focusing on officer safety, and number two, focusing on paper terrorism and recognizing these folks and how to mitigate the paper terrorism.
Now, if officers want to contact you for this training, is this something that they could you provide them in writing, do you travel to agencies and give presentations on this stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. We can correspond via email and phone, which is just kind of the rough strokes of how to deal with sovereigns, what sovereignty is all about. But as far as the training itself, it's always best in person. So we definitely would travel. Definitely would be more than happy to share it with as many agencies as possible. And I think, or hopefully, from our 4-plus years of experience in working specifically sovereign citizens and dealing with them in the overt, covert capacity for 4 years, we've got some pretty good experience and some really good stories and kind of do's and don'ts and things that we've learned that have worked and haven't worked, and come up with some pretty forward-thinking ideas for states to enact legislation and try to combat the problem in a proactive way instead of a reactive way.
Private officers may or may not encounter sovereign citizens. If you live and work in the South, the southeastern region, you may more than likely encounter them at the local grocery store, the shopping mall, or a local apartment complex. As the Greensboro, North Carolina officer stated, there's no one territory where sovereign citizens have set up exclusively. Sovereign citizens can be encountered and found in almost every state across the country. Sometimes they are easily recognizable, and other times not so much. I've had several folks ask, are they like a gang? Do they operate like a gang? Do they have tattoos like gangs? Can you identify them by their colors? And no, the answer is not really. They do have a loose affiliation. They do have some ideology that is the foundation of their beliefs that are the, you know, it's going to be the same no matter what state you're in. But overall, many times they operate independent of each other and independent of other states. Very loosely associated, and yet they have the same beliefs. Almost like a gang, but not quite like a gang. I don't know of any special colors or tattoos that are associated with sovereigns from all the training and information that I've taken. I can't really point to one or two items of clothing or dress or colors that would identify them. But the things that will identify a sovereign citizen, if you ever encounter one, if you ever stop one, will be that they will not comply, most likely. They will not identify. They will say that you have no authority to stop them. Sometimes their license tags are from unknown, you know, countries. They say unknown crazy things on them. Any time that a private officer encounters a sovereign citizen, they need to automatically notify law enforcement for immediate backup. Some sovereign citizens have been involved in shootouts with police. They have been involved with murder of police officers. as with any segment of society, they can be dangerous, but most of the time, they're just going to be non-compliant. As a private officer, especially a non-sworn private officer, you won't really have a whole lot of options on how to deal with them. You won't really have a whole lot of tools in your toolbox for this particular situation, and that's why it's important to get law enforcement involved as quickly as possible. Don't try to detain them. Don't smash out their windows. Don't try to bring them into compliance just because they won't identify, just because they won't cooperate with you, because whether or not they've committed a minor crime or not, it would be in your best interest legally to have law enforcement present before any other escalation of any type of enforcement. Don't underestimate sovereign citizens or those who classify themselves as being sovereign from America. They are not to be taken lightly. Even if you were put into a position of being sued, taken through the civil court process, you could easily find judgments against you, liens against your property, as the officer stated. That's their whole goal. Their whole goal is to make life miserable for anyone who challenges them, for anyone who stops them, from anyone who won't believe them, comply with their demands and their wishes. And so financially, this could really become a huge crisis for any private officer involved in an encounter with a sovereign citizen. So for that reason, I want to reiterate and make sure that it's clear to contact law enforcement anytime that you encounter someone who's identified as a sovereign citizen. It's vitally important, not only for officer safety, but also for your financial safety and well-being. That's going to wrap up our part two of Sovereign Citizens. I hope that you've enjoyed it and got some information from it. Remember that tomorrow night, October the 21st, 2013, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we are celebrating. Yeah! We are celebrating our 300th radio show right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. And we invite you, our listeners, to be part of the celebration by calling in tomorrow night, area code 347-426-3807. Once again, that number is area code 347-426-3807. Call in. Tell us why you listen to the radio show. Tell us what you get out of it. Tell us if you have a favorite radio show or a favorite guest or a favorite subject that we've addressed or trained on during the last 6 years. And let us know. Let us know, you know, your thoughts. Be part of this celebration tomorrow night, Monday the 21st of October of 2013. We are planning to have a great night here on the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we certainly want you to be part of it. That's all for this episode, and we're glad that you've joined us. Be sure to be with us tomorrow right here on the 300th celebration of Private Officer Beat Radio. Till then, God bless, good night, stay safe. We'll see you right back here on the radio.